Thank you, Brisa. While this is uploading, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and present this work. This is a paper that's out of a body of work that comprised my thesis, which I'm happy to say was defended successfully this spring. And the thesis was really looking at how can we make our methods of surveillance and program monitoring more efficient so that we can encourage data-driven decisions in the field. And specifically, I'm interested in resource-poor context. This is a body of work that I developed with my research advisor, Marcello Pagano, at Harvard School of Public Health. And this particular paper was driven by some needs given to us from the World Bank in terms of trying to find a way to do program monitoring for some of their partners in the field. I have no relationships to disclose here. So basically, the structure of the talk, I do want to give a description of lot quality assurance sampling, and then I'm going to go into some of the particulars of what we call large country lot quality assurance sampling, which was the methodology we worked on. So just the history of lot quality assurance sampling, it has its foundation in industrial statistics, where essentially managers of plants or factories that were producing products wanted to know, were their products of sufficient quality to export them out into to stores. And since then, it's been extended to public health, where a review in 2006 identified 805 lot quality assurance applications, where essentially what we want to know is, are our public health programs of sufficient quality to be rolled out to the field? So just some nuts and bolts of LQAS. It's a classification tool. What we want to know at the end of the day is our program performing sufficiently or not, and what changes do we need to make if we determine that they're not performing sufficiently. So an example here is prevention of mother-to-child transmission programs, where we might want to have a coverage of 60%. And if we see that our program is performing at 60% or better coverage, then we'll say this is acceptable. And if it's below 60%, then we'll have to take action, increase education, roll out more services, and so on. The thing that's really makes LQAS desirable for a public health context is that every classification really should lead to a public health action. And so a lot of ministries and donors are using this as a method for program monitoring because it empowers local program managers to make decisions about their programs and changes to their programs. In terms of how we determine these classification rules for LQAS, it's essentially equivalent to a one-sided hypothesis test. And based on the one-sided hypothesis test, whatever we say is an acceptable program coverage and the difference that we're looking for, we can determine a decision rule. And these decision rules make it very easy to implement LQAS because you're essentially taking a sample and saying if we have X number of people reaching a certain threshold, then our program is performing sufficiently, and if not, then we need to increase our program coverage. The wonderful thing, because we're interested in classification and not in point estimates and the precision of those point estimates, is LQAS does not require a large sample size. And if we're looking at a difference of 30% or more, we can reduce our classification error to less than 20% with a sample size of 19 or 20. So very small sample size for subsequent public health action. And that really leads into why LQAS has had such an appeal in public health. Again, this idea that we're doing these classifications not just to have a sense of where our epidemic is or our coverage is, but to make very specific public health actions. And it's low intensity in terms of the small samples. It's very easy to classify. And there's a lot of tools developed to support implementation. This picture on the right is one of these tools that is used to train health professionals in the field. And then we found in these 805 implementations that it really does support local level programming because it's so easy to train individuals. It helps support local level management. So we were interested, when we were approached by the World Bank, in aggregating these lot quality assurance sampling to obtain regional or national estimates. So a lot of times, health programs are implemented on the local level, but they're funded on a regional or national level. And the people who are funding those programs, either ministries of health or donors, need to know how they're performing overall. And there is previous work on combining lot quality assurance sampling with stratified sampling, where we're able to take a small sample in each stratum and aggregate, apply LQAS methodology in the local level, and then aggregate that information to get regional and national measurements. However, we are approached because in a lot of countries, there are too many local levels to do simultaneous training and implementation of LQAS. So if we want at a snapshot in time, we can't implement this methodology in all areas at once. And we were originally approached because Kenya, who wanted to use LQAS as local level program management, had over 200 constituencies. And the idea of taking a sample size, even if it's a small sample size, in 20 different constituencies was just not feasible. And then we also had, and you'll hear me talk a lot about this because this is the one that we were most intimately involved with, was in Eritrea, where they had over 60 sub-zobas as their local level, and they just didn't have the resources to do simultaneous implementation in all 60 sub-zobas. So essentially, what is large country lot quality assurance sampling? Well, I've already described to you what lot quality assurance sampling is, and we wanted to preserve the ability to do local level program evaluation. And what we've done is combine this with cluster sampling so that we can minimize the number of areas for collection, but still get the aggregate measures that are needed by the ministries of health and the donor agencies. The original constraints that were given to us, and what I'll present here, were functioning under these constraints. And then at the end, I'll talk about some future directions because we are looking at changing these constraints some. So they wanted to fix the cluster sample sizes, and we went with this 19 or 20 to be able to detect a 30% difference with a minimal classification error. They wanted to sample subregions without replacement and with equal probability. So there's many different approaches to this, and the reason they chose this particular constraint is politically, even though regions are very different sizes, the ministry needs to show that they're very much interested in the performance of all regions, no matter the population size. And so that's why they decided to go with this instead of using probability proportionate to size sampling. And then finally, they wanted to restrict the width of the confidence intervals of the regional and national aggregate measures to plus or minus 10%. And again, this is a requirement that's often placed on ministries by donor agencies in terms of the level of precision they need in the regional and national estimates. So some definitions just to make this consistent with the lot quality assurance sampling vocabulary. A supervision area is the local, Yes, the supervision area is a local area covered by the program. So you'll hear me talk about Eritrea, and these are the sub-zobas. And this is what we'll be sampling. And then the catchment area is a larger geographical area for which we want aggregate measures. And in the case of Eritrea, this is the sub-zobas. So with this Eritrea example, there's 6 zobas in the country, and they wanted to have aggregate measures at each of the zobas. And then they wanted to sample sub-zobas to implement the LQAS methodology. And I'm going to focus on one particular zoba called Gashbarka, where there were 14 sub-zobas and a total population of about 500,000. The indicator that I'm going to be focusing on now, the Ministry of Health and Eritrea collected many indicators, but the indicator we're interested in is the number of children who are sleeping under an insecticide-treated bed net. And we used as our target for this the Abuja target of 60%. So the point estimates for the large country lot quality assurance sampling, the aggregate measures are very similar to what you would see with cluster sampling. But just to show what we did to find the sample size, they wanted, again, to restrict the confidence intervals to plus or minus 10%. And so this is our attempt to do that. And we reduced the variance parameter to 1, which is the intra-class correlation, because you're oftentimes able, through measures of design effect and other surveys, for example, DHS, able to tease out some information on what might be this intra-class correlation to help your sample size estimates. So for Gashbarka in particular, with the sample size formula, what you can see here on the x-axis is the estimated interclass correlation, and then on the y-axis, the number of sub-zobas that we recommend for sampling. And based on previous DHSs, we estimated that the interclass correlation was somewhere about 0.5 percent, which ended up that they wanted 9 of the 14 subzobas sampled to get the aggregate measures. So there's 2 points here that I want to drive home, and the first is with the large country lot quality assurance sampling, it is still possible to get these regional and national estimates that the donors and the ministries of health need to do to be able to manage their programs at a national or regional level. And this is an example here from the from the Eritrea survey, where we're still able to get our point estimate, our confidence intervals, and then estimates of interclass correlations, which can feed into the design of future surveys for this indicator proportion of children using insecticide-treated bed nets. And what you see here for Eritrea, when you're just looking at the point estimates, what you see is that we have along the Red Sea area really poor performance, levels below 40%. And Seba, Mahel, and Debab are doing better. And then Gash Barka, the area to the southwest that I wanted you to focus on, according to this aggregate measure, this regional measure, it seems like they're doing pretty well. They have a higher than 60% coverage, which was our coverage of success. However, we did implement the LQAS methodology in the 9 subregions that we sampled. And what you have here is these are the 14 subzobas in Gash Barka. The ones that have no number next to them are the 5 that were not included in this exercise. However, you see for the other ones, we were able to determine the decision rule of 9. And although as a region, Gash Barka is performing well, we were able to identify 3 subzobas that were not performing well in this activity. And just to look at this a little bit more visibly, you can see how, again, they're somewhat geographically clustered. We don't have information on all the subzobas, but we are able to identify areas that perhaps need more resources and more implementation of distributing bed nets. So just some discussions and conclusions for this methodology. Again, we find that the benefit of LC-LQAS is that it allows for both local level classification, so for program managers to decide how they're doing at a local level, but it allows for ministries and donors to supervise and manage on a regional and national level. We do recognize that some subregions will not have local information, but we hope that if this is done, the sampling is done randomly and continuously over time, that eventually every subregion will have some information for program management. We believe that the simplicity of LC-LQAS facilitates its use in all settings, and we've been working with the World Bank to try and derive some support tools to encourage use in the field. And we want to also note, so I only reported here that the subregional estimates, but it is possible if you do your design correctly that you can aggregate the subregional estimates up to get national estimates for Eritrea. In terms of future directions, we really struggled with these program needs versus efficiency. So I mentioned a little bit about the decision to do SRS to select our regions for inclusion, and that was somewhat driven by a political motivation when we first developed this for Kenya, where they didn't want the very remote, very rural areas to be excluded and only the large urban areas to be included. However, there's efficiency issues associated with that, and so we are revisiting that decision and hoping to maybe come up with 2 methodologies that, depending on the political pressures, they can decide which sampling scheme they want to use. We also are looking at, so we use proportion estimators and recognizing that ratio estimators, although they have slight bias, are much more efficient, are looking towards using ratio estimators to improve that efficiency. And then finally, with some of our colleagues, we're looking at the most efficient and useful designs for LC-LQAS if it's a rolling activity. So for example, if this time we had 5 subregions that were excluded in Gash Barka, should we make sure that they're included next time and then randomly sample others? And what are the estimators from that? And then finally, this certainly was not work that was done alone. I do want to acknowledge my thesis advisor, Martella Pagano, and then co-authors, Casey Alice, who's another graduate student in my department, and Joseph Valadez, who was until just months ago at the World Bank, the department, and then also thesis committee, and some good feedback from, from professors and colleagues at my school. So thank you very much for the opportunity. And I don't know how we're doing on time. So. So they actually fixed the sample size to 20. So each of these, let's see if I can get back to this without too much chaos. Each of these, 9 of the 14 that were sampled had 20 household surveys where they went to the household. And this is actually a point that should be emphasized based on your question. It's all self-report data. So you ask the mother, does your child sleep under the bed net? Yes, no. And when was the last time you treated the bed net? So you can get a sense if the treatment is still effective. So each of these had 19 children sampled, and then based on the decision rule, 9 are classified as performing well or not. So very small sample sizes.
So the trick here, pardon me, the trick here is really saying, I know what I want to achieve. Therefore, all I really care about is, am I in standard or not?
Exactly, which is a little bit of a shift of thought in terms of how we approach.
No, I don't care if the estimate is, I just care if have I achieved standard.
Right. And it's possible